Hello, Americans. Stand by for news.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest in classic rock news and comment.
It's the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update
with your host, Jeremy Lunnon.
This is the day. Time for news. It's the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update. Thank you for joining me. And I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but it's not a dead horse I'm talking about. I'm talking about Classic Guitar Rock Radio. Have you heard it? It's an internet sensation sweeping the web. There could be as many as two people listening right now, and you could be one of them. If you haven't, in all seriousness, if you haven't checked out the new radio station, Classic Guitar Rock Radio, you need to check it out. I'm a little biased, but hey, the tunes are great. The playlist is great. I'm fine-tuning it. It's just a repository of the great guitar-driven rock of the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and you should be there. I'll just say that. That's all I'm going to say. If you haven't checked it out yet, my invitation to you and my humble ask is that you'll check it out. I think you'll like it. Marlon is here. Marlon, I always appreciate you being here. Thank you for being here. Good morning. Hope all is well with you, sir. We got Kiss news, folks. Kiss, kind of known for their marketing, you know, Kiss has sold their name, logo, image, and likeness rights and their share of the band's music catalog and publishing to Pop House Entertainment Group. This is what aging rockers are doing now. They sell off all the rights to their music. A lot of times it's just music and publishing, but with Kiss, you know, they're selling their logo, image, likeness, everything. They're basically selling Kiss to Pop House Entertainment Group for $300 million. $300 million. So I think Gene and Paul will be comfortable for their remaining years. According to Fortune, the band is being paid over $300 million by the Swedish company, who plan to use the same technology to launch a Kiss avatar show in America. So this same company did an avatar show with ABBA that apparently is pretty cool and successful. And so now Kiss has launched their, it's not even going to happen until 2027. I've told you before that I could be wrong. Maybe it's going to be a big deal. It was worth $300 million to Pop House, but the avatar thing is only part of that. It's also, you know, you'll probably be seeing Kiss songs and their likeness I can't see it being any more leveraged than Kiss has already leveraged their name, image, and likeness. I mean, you could buy a Kiss coffin. So Pop House, I don't know if they'll be able to market as well as Kiss did themselves. I mean, there were Kiss comic books, Kiss caskets, Kiss everything. And now Pop House owns all that. Pop House says, quote, "We have a lot of plans for Kiss." This is their CEO, Per Sundin. "We want to keep to the legacy. We want to extend and amplify it for new generations." So there you go. Kiss has, this will be interesting. So Paul and Gene, they're done touring as Kiss, and this kind of makes it official because they don't own their own likeness and image anymore. And see, Gene and Paul owned Ace and Peter's image and likeness, because Ace and Peter sold their image and likeness for like $20 to the guys, you know, 30, 40 years ago. So all those characters, the spaceman, the demon, the star child, the cat, they are all owned by Pop House now. It's an end of an era. Interesting. Speaking of Kiss, Ace Frehley, the spaceman, says he has had more than one close encounter with UFOs in his lifetime. He believes he knows why our government has spoken more openly about the phenomenon in recent years. He says, quote, "I don't think they have a choice at this point. There have been so many sightings over the years, plus people claiming they have been abducted. The evidence is overwhelming. I saw a UFO once. One night when I was out looking for Bigfoot. Yeah, I saw it. I'm kind of joking. Is it logical to assume that in our vast universe, we're the only life forms? To me, it seems more unlikely that that's the case than, to me, it's very plausible that there's life on other planets. I've never been abducted that I know of. Same with Bigfoot. Okay, I joked about Bigfoot. I totally believe in Bigfoot. I mean, Native American tribes have talked about Bigfoot for generations. Too many normal people some that I personally know have seen Sasquatch. Who am I to say, oh no, you're wrong? No, I probably believe in Bigfoot more strongly than I do in UFOs. How did I go down this trail? I've all of a sudden become coast to coast AM. How did that happen? I don't know. Marlon says it's afternoon here in Iowa. Yeah, it's morning here still for just another half an hour. And Know Your Joe. Know Your Joe has not checked in yet. Thank you, Know Your Joe, for checking in. Good morning to you. Or good afternoon or good evening, depending on where you're joining. Thank you for saying hello. But he thinks he's been visited. Ace Frehley thinks he's been visited by alien life forms. Yeah, the topic today is Bigfoot and UFOs. No, you're Joe. So Frehley says, quote, "I dreamt that I was visited. The dream started happening a couple of weeks after I ended up unconscious between the open door and the front of my house." That could have been alcohol related, Ace. I'm just saying there. "I was halfway in and halfway out. Even when I'd get completely wasted, I'd make it inside the door and at least crash on the couch or something. It was unprecedented. Then I looked outside on the grass in my front yard and I saw a circular depression." That's probably from a keg, would be my guess. Anyways, there's a video of Ace talking about it, and I shouldn't make fun of it because I am completely open to the idea of flying saucers and UFOs and Bigfoot. Okay. I live in the Pacific Northwest and you know what? There are too many normal, credible people have seen both Bigfoot and UFOs for us to just say it's all fake. That's my personal opinion. Let's move on. A letter signed by 200 artists, including Pearl Jam, John Bon Jovi, and REM, are taking to task artificial intelligence or companies that use artificial intelligence in music. Quote, "Make no mistake, we believe that when used responsibly, AI has enormous potential to advance human creativity in a manner that enables the development and growth of new and exciting experiences for music fans everywhere." With co-signatories Peter Frampton, Don Was, Elvis Costello, Stevie Wonder, Sheryl Crow, and Greta Van Fleet. But the letter continues, "Unfortunately, some platforms and developers are employing AI to sabotage creativity and undermine artists, songwriters, musicians, and right holders. When used irresponsibly, AI poses enormous threats to our ability to protect our privacy, our identities, our music, and our livelihoods." And it just goes on and on. And these are all potential downfalls of the technology. I got to tell you, I just used AI today for my real job, putting together some training. Dude, it's awesome. But I totally get where they're coming from. It is kind of ironic that Greta Van Fleet is worried about artists' creativity when they've ripped off a band who ripped off blues artists. That's just kind of ironic. I mean, I love Led Zeppelin, but Led Zeppelin would just steal. Sorry, that's part of the history. They would just steal blues songs and say they wrote them. And then Greta Van Fleet just kind of stole Led Zeppelin's whole act, right? Doesn't mean I don't like them, but I mean, it's just kind of ironic that they're signing on this thing about artist creativity and that sort of thing. Know Your Joe. Yes, UFOs, excellent. Party on, Wayne. Party on, Garth. Yes, that's exactly what we're doing. So anyways, these musicians, understandably so, because it's the brave new world. You know, next thing we know, it's metal gods, right? And then it's all over. So we got to keep an eye on this artificial intelligence. Trust me, any intelligence I use is artificial. Trent Reznor, kind of along the same lines of technology. Trent Reznor has slammed streaming services like Spotify and Apple Music, which is kind of ironic because he actually had a partnership and worked with Apple for a while, I think. He says, quote, "I think the terrible payout of streaming services has mortally wounded a whole tier of artists that make being an artist unsustainable. And it's great if you're Drake, who I guess is really famous, not great if you're Grizzly Bear." Not familiar with Grizzly Bear, not related to Sasquatch, as far as we know. "To those who argue the streaming structure will eventually sort itself out, Reznor had a clear message. Quote, "The reality is, take a look around. We've had enough time for the whole all the boats rise argument to see they don't all rise. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, what? Never mind. Those boats rise, these boats don't. They can't make money in any means. And I think that's bad for art." So here's the thing about this, guys. We've talked about this before. It is true. The platforms pay pittance. Pittance. You get a million streams and you might make $500 or $700. I mean, it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. I realize that. But Spotify doesn't break into the artist's house at night and steal their music and put it up there. Someone allows them to stream that music. It's the record companies. You can pull your music off the streaming platforms. Okay? So part of me is like, I get it, they don't pay enough, but the reality is that's the way we as consumers listen to our music. So you could say, I'm not going to put my music up there. Neil Young tried, Joni Mitchell tried, and now they're back because, well, yeah, they only make a pittance, but at least it's better than nothing. And that's the way the market works. I mean, I don't know if you can blame Spotify and blame Apple. The record companies sign off on this. Why don't the record companies say, no, you have to quadruple what you pay the artists? Well, then guess what happens? Then the price of Spotify goes from $12 a month to $40 a month, and then most people won't pay that. And so then you're right back to, so it is what it is. We're talking about the price, the elasticity of demand, right? We're talking about economics here. Okay. I think it's a little short-sighted to blame the platforms when there are multiple factors involved with causing this situation where we find ourselves. I'm going down a long, boring trail here. Okay, here is Know Your Joe says, "The real issue is not using AI to enhance, but when it overtakes the artist and becomes the tool of corporations to further their bottom line and displace the human element." And I agree with that. So for instance, here's something that's all over on YouTube and Facebook. It's the AI-generated voices, right? You watch a stupid video, clickbait, where it sounds like Joe Rogan. It ain't Joe Rogan, right? Or it sounds like Patrick Stewart. It ain't Patrick Stewart. That is a blatant theft and using AI to do that. And I completely agree. They're funny to listen to, but now you hear these AI generated, hey, let's hear an Aerosmith song sung by Boy George, right? Or vice versa.
And, you know, they sound pretty convincing, right? And yeah, I completely agree with Know Your Joe on that. It's kind of a scary thing. We're at the bleeding edge of this technology, and we're going to have to sort things out. Absolutely. Litigation. This is from the People's Court file. The brother of Joey Ramone has filed a countersuit against the widow of Johnny Ramone, claiming her efforts to stop a Netflix film about the punk legends is baseless and flimsy. So back a few years ago, 2021, Netflix announced they'd be making this movie about Joey Ramone. And Pete Davidson was cast. That would be interesting, as Joey Ramone. People don't know this. Joey Ramone was like 6'5", 6'6", really tall. And Pete Davidson, I think, is pretty tall. But anyways, so this was all announced that they would be doing it. Well, then the wife, the widow of, let me see here. The widow of Johnny Ramone, and none of them were really Ramones, by the way. None of them were, those were all fake names. None of them were related, right? There was Johnny, there was Joey, there was Dee Dee, there was a whole bunch of, was there a Charlie Ramone? I don't remember. So anyways, they signed the deal to make this movie about the Ramones. Joey, of course, the lead singer, his brother is suing the widow of Johnny Ramone. Her name is Linda Cummings Ramone. She sued Mitch Hyman, who's Joey's brother, claiming he covertly developed an unauthorized biopic on the Ramones. In her allegations, Cummings Ramone asserted that any authoritative story of the Ramones would require her approval. So apparently she didn't approve this. Let's see. Mitchell, Joey's brother, he says Ms. Cummings Ramone's main purpose is to embarrass, harass, and destroy the integrity of Mr. Hyman. This is from his attorney, not him. Mr. Hyman is Mitch, who's the brother of Joe. It's convoluted, guys. So the attorney says Ms. Cummings Ramone's main purpose is to embarrass, harass, and destroy the integrity of Mr. Hyman, create an utterly false narrative about him, rewrite her role in the history of the Ramones, and win a popularity contest in which, in her mind, she takes over the legacy of a band of which she never was a member and had nothing to do with creatively. She's driven by an alternate agenda, including her own fame and vanity, as well as a self-serving desire to obstruct projects and control RPI for reasons which conflict with her fiduciary duties and cause her to avoid any modicum of cooperation with Mr. Hyman. I never heard of the lady. She's suing them to stop the production of this. Sounds like it's a money grab. She wants them to pay her or something, or something. So anyways, let's wait and see how the dust settles, how the documents settle there. And we'll see how it plays out. Lastly, the In Machine. Now, the In Machine is this project with, it's George Lynch and Jeff Pilson from Dokken. This is their third album. And the first two are pretty good. If you're a George Lynch fan, it sounds very George Lynchy. So their third album, The Quantum Phase, will be it's already out. Came out on March 8th. I didn't know that. Well, today they launched a video for the song Hell or High Water. Now, you'll notice a change. If you've watched any other In Machine videos, their lead singer in the past was Robert Mason, who's a great singer. He's left. Their new singer is Girish Pradhan. And we actually, in an early episode, we talked about his band, Girish and the Chronicles. Girish and the Chronicles is a excellent album. They're from India. He's from India. And who knew that there was, you know, melodic hard rock in India? There is. There is. And Girish and the Chronicles is awesome. Well, now Girish is the lead singer of In Machine, replacing Robert Mason. He also was in Joel Hoekstra's 13 and Firstborn, too. We got this whole Joel Hoekstra, George Lynch, Jeff Pilson, Doug Aldrich, Glenn Hughes. I talk about them a lot. There's like a dozen of these guys that are super busy that at any given time, Ronnie Romero. Same thing. He was in a new version of Vandenberg. He was in Rainbow. He was in Lords of Black. He was in the Michael Schenker. There's like a dozen of these guys that are all phenomenally talented that just make the circuit, and are any of them are in three or four bands at the same time, on three or four tours at the same time. I don't know how they do it, but it's cool. I have not seen this video yet. I'm going to go out and watch it. I'm a big fan of George Lynch and Jeff Pilson and Gerrish. Definitely worth checking out. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in today. And again, let me give you a plug for Classic Guitar Rock Radio. I have some posts for it on X. You can click on the link there. You can go to the Live 365 app and look it up, Classic Guitar Rock. It's great. I'm having a blast. I'm wasting so much time on it, but it's great. The music's great. I'm adding more music all the time. It's going to be a lot of fun. I want you to check it out, Classic Guitar Rock Radio. We'll do the update again tomorrow. Live long and prosper. We'll see you.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I've ever heard.
Thanks for listening. You can email Jeremy at classicguitarrock@mail.com.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Tune in each weekday for the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update.